A scripture is found in two different places, Matthew and Luke, starting with Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" From Luke 9, 57 to 62. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first, let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." I'm sure you've gathered by now the sermon is about following Jesus. People are typically followers. We follow popular trends, we follow sports teams, we follow people or groups in our socials. It's in our nature to follow. It's one of those ways that we're like the sheep, Jesus calls us. Now, Jesus gives us this ultimate invitation to follow him and to walk in the light as he is in the light. There are 12 different passages where Jesus says, "Follow me." So I chose two of the tougher ones because they address the cost in following. No matter what we follow, there is a cost. In the very least, we pay with time. But we also pay with money. Maybe we're buying paraphernalia or tickets or things of that nature with little to no real benefit. But Luke 14, 28, Jesus encourages us to consider the cost of following him. So we're going to look at it. But we must keep in mind that the reward of following Jesus is immeasurably greater than its cost, which is why the Apostle Paul says, "Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ." The first cost is to give up your own way. I mean, it makes sense. You can't really follow anything if you're still going your own way. And fortunately, we know what God says in Isaiah 55. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This tells us that we are definitely getting an upgrade when we give up our own small-minded way to embrace God's incredible way. We are entrusting our life and our identity to God, who created us in the first place. But even though this is an upgrade and so much better for us, there's a lot of Christians who struggle with this surrender that's necessary. They want God to bless their plans rather than follow the plans of God. They want to follow Jesus on one hand, but they don't want to give up their own personal goals Whether it be for wealth or fame or independence, whatever it is, they want to hold it. And it is impossible to follow Jesus and still go your own way. Now, eventually, as we mature in our faith and are transformed, what we find is that God's ways have become our ways. We're not constantly feeling like it's surrender because we become aligned with God. But it doesn't start that way. And it is a journey. Now, after you've managed to give up your own ways, the next cost doesn't sound any more pleasant. Take up your cross. This signifies a willingness to endure hardships and sacrifice and even persecution for the sake of following Jesus. And it's a daily ongoing commitment, especially when it's difficult, and especially when it leads to sacrifice. But it is only after we have given up our own way and taken up our cross that we can truly begin to follow Jesus. And Jesus said the reward is amazing. If you give up your life for my sake, you will actually be saving your life. Jesus said, when you follow me, you will truly live. But if you decide that you want to hang on to your life, that is to take control of it, to be in charge, you're really going to lose it. You'll live less than the life that you would have following Christ. If you follow your own desires, they will lead you to feel empty, lost, and in despair. See, the price to live according to the selfish world is paid in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. They bear the cost. Look at the state of people today. There are so many paying the price for a self-focused lifestyle. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. The thief has painted his way with shiny things to attract us. But that life leads to destruction. Jesus painted his way with his blood to purify us. And his way surrounds us with peace and joy and love. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Follow me. The passage that we read from Luke gives us three more costs. Jesus said, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. What is Jesus talking about? Well, the world is not our home. Dens and nests are homes. John 17:14, Jesus said, they do not belong to the world, meaning his disciples, just as I do not belong to the world. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. See, we don't own anything here. We have no claim to the things of the world. We depend on God for our provision. All that we have is a gift from God. And Jesus is letting his followers know that you will become foreigners in this land. Now, the final cost that we see in this passage is giving up old priorities in order to follow Jesus. Luke gives us two exchanges between Jesus and potential followers to demonstrate the priority that we must give to following Jesus. The first man says, let me go and bury my father. Now, it might seem uncaring that Jesus is emphasizing his spiritual duty over his earthly one. But the truth is that it is far more important. The follower's absolute priority must be serving God and spreading the kingdom of God, even above family obligations and earthly traditions. See, the disciple's request is really an excuse to delay his commitment. He's saying, wait until my father has passed, and then I will serve. How often do we give God a wait until? And often what happens is the one wait until leads into another wait until. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, then the kingdom of God has got to be your priority. In the second conversation between Jesus and another potential follower, we read this. Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, when anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, what does he mean? Well, I know our tractors today have GPS guidance, but once upon a time, when plowing a field, a farmer would have to guide the plow behind his animal in a straight line. And if he looked back, he would inadvertently cause the line to go crooked. Can't look back. The act of plowing represents a believer's commitment to following Jesus and spreading the message of the kingdom of God, preparing the way, as it were. And looking back represents being pulled back by old routines, things that were familiar, relationships, or things that are perceived as urgent. It's the looking back that's the problem. Christianity and following Christ is a moving forward faith. Looking back speaks of a longing, a sense of loss. And that person is torn. They're double-minded, and so they're not fit to build the kingdom of God because they don't truly see the full value of the work. This is what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back longing for the life she was leaving, and the result was she became a pillar of salt. Following Jesus requires a complete dedication and a commitment, and one must fix their eyes on Jesus and on the value and importance of the kingdom we belong to. The pursuit to proclaim the kingdom of God is of the utmost importance. It changes and transforms people's lives. It requires action and not excuses. Think about Peter, James, and John, having just come in with a boatload of fish, more wealth than they'd probably ever seen. And they get up and leave it to follow Jesus. Or Matthew, the tax collector, got up and left his booth and his employment to follow Jesus. They didn't offer excuses. And look what they achieved for the kingdom of God. Their sacrifice was worth it. The cost was worth it. When Jesus says, follow me, it's not just simply an invitation to walk behind Christ, but it's an invitation to be transformed by Christ. Following Jesus aligns our lives with his teachings and his example. And as we embrace his values as our own, we reshape our priorities and our actions and even our identity. Follow me is an invitation to participate in the kingdom of God, to live under God's rule in a way that brings life and hope and love and healing to this world. Following Jesus is about doing the things that Jesus would do, and having the values that he would have. It's about daily making the choice to live in a way that honors Christ and impacts the world and brings us into a deeper relationship with God. Truly, there is nothing more important than this. May the strength of God sustain you, the power of God preserve you, the hand of God protect you, and the way of God direct you as we follow Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.